Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, good evening and welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and joining me shortly in the studio is Stephanie Humphrey, the founder of A Matter of Life and Tech. Stephanie will be with us shortly, and so I am going to read her bio. Absolutely fascinating woman. Her bio starts with, "Your life just got a little easier. You found A Matter of Life and Tech, where functionality meets fun, and Stephanie delivers lifestyle with a tech edge." For her entire life, Stephanie's been driven by an innate curiosity to know why things work the way they do. This strong desire to unlock the world pushed her to earn a BS in electrical engineering and an MS in telecommunications and network engineering. Later, her experiences as a senior systems engineer helped her discover many answers about how technology works. While Stephanie's bio is extensive, and we are fortunate to have her here live with us on Significant Business Results Radio. Welcome, Stephanie. How are you this evening?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me, Fran.
Oh, it is so exciting. And to pull you away from the Olympics, I am going to do that only for 25 minutes. I know that you're a woman of sports, you're a woman of talk, you're a woman of tech, and everything is a matter of life and tech. So we want to jump right in. Thank you again for being on the show. And Stephanie, my first question, which I ask almost all of my guests, is what's the significant story behind you being an entrepreneur? And I imagine there's many parts, but start us at sort of part one.
Well, I think part one starts because it wasn't something that I sought out, you know, and I think, you know, your listeners could take that lesson. You don't have to know exactly where you want to go or exactly what you want to do or even that, you know, entrepreneurship is for you. You just have to be open to whatever the universe has to offer you. And I'm grateful for that because it led me here.
Wow. Well, let's get specific. I had a chance to read some of your bio, and our listeners now know that you have 2 degrees in technology, and yet you are melding, I would say, and meshing and combining technology, lifestyle, and the media. How did you go from engineering degrees, or what was your first job, to being involved in the media? It's a great story, and as you say, a lot of it depends on, was based on your ability to be open.
Yeah, absolutely, and it definitely wasn't a straight line, so, you know, the expectation that I was going to leave and then jump on television or jump into anything, I had to get over that for myself because it is a process. It is a true process. And I was working for Lockheed Martin for a number of years and just wasn't happy and wasn't satisfied. And I worked in a cubicle in a room with no windows, and I was convinced that this could not be the rest of my life. So I started looking for an exit strategy.
Okay, so the cubicle and an exit strategy. Many people, when they have those sorts of feeling, either say kind of take this job and shove it, or they start something on the side, or the organization says, you know what, we're downsizing and you're out of here anyway. So how did you deal with that feeling, and how did you actually end up leaving the corporation or the corporate world?
What? I'm a planner, so I definitely was not going to just slam my badge down on somebody's desk and walk out of there. That just was not going. That was never going to happen. And then I don't believe in burning bridges like that either. You never know. I might have had to go back with you know, my tail between my legs. But yeah, I started thinking about what I could do, and the whole idea of media didn't come first necessarily, because I was doing some other things. I was very much into fitness, as I still am today, and I was working out with a woman who was, you know, in her 70s and was in the most phenomenal shape I had ever seen anybody in, and was in much better shape than I was at 22, and so I was a little jealous, and my competitiveness got the better of me, so I started training with her, Miss Betty. I love her to death to this day, and the environment that she had created for the women that came to her house was something that I felt was very necessary, especially for Black women with all the health issues. You know, we're number one in heart disease. We're number one in HIV. Like, we're number one in everything bad as it relates to our health. So I felt like the environment she had created there was something that I could replicate and monetize, to be perfectly honest, and provide that safe space for women of color to get healthy, to exercise some self-care, you know, in the midst of all that. So that was kind of where I was headed at the time. I thought I might be a fitness guru. So I got certified to teach, and I was teaching in a couple of places and, you know, working on my personal training certification, and thought I might end up being the Black Lucille Roberts.
Oh, okay. I remember Lucille Roberts. Okay.
Yeah.
So now we have the fitness piece, which is really cool. Two engineering degrees, working at a corporation, having some aha moments, and certainly not wanting to burn bridges. So you loved fitness. You got involved in fitness. Where did you go next? What happened next in your journey?
Well, as it might happen, and it's so funny how it's all connected. So one of the women that I worked out with at Miss Betty's, she was the manager of a retail clothing store, a women's clothing store in Philadelphia, and she asked me to be in her fashion show. It was super simple. She was just, you know, asking people she knew that could be in a fashion show, I guess, in her opinion, and she sweetened the pot with a discount on whatever I bought that night. So that was all I needed. That was all I needed to convince me to do it. And so this favor for a friend turned into, you know, in addition to the people she had asked to do her this favor, she had a woman there that brought some models from her modeling school. This woman had a school where she taught runway classes and you know, kind of lent her models out for different runway shows around the area. And it just so happened she was there the night that I was, and the two of us struck up a conversation and kind of started talking about the modeling industry, and she thought it was something that I could do and be successful in. And that was that seed that was planted that kind of started easing me into the entertainment industry.
Excellent. So where'd you go from there? Fitness, fashion, modeling, and the entertainment industry.
I know. Crazy, right? So from there,
Crazy and beautiful. It's beautiful because you talked about the zigzag. And I think that's the drama and the intrigue of the story. And it's so wonderful that you're able to share it with such enthusiasm.
Oh, my gosh, because it's been such a crazy ride. And, again, just nothing I would have ever picked for myself, nothing that I would have ever, you know, written down on a piece of paper as something I wanted to do. And I definitely wouldn't have taken this path if I had planned it out. But it just kind of happened the way it happened. So after I talked to her, I ended up getting an agent in Philadelphia and started doing some modeling on the side, as well as a little bit of, you know, I'm putting acting in air quotes, because when you act in a pharmaceutical industrial video, you're not really acting. They just need people that understand how to, they really just want somebody that understands how to pronounce all the medical terminology and can do it convincingly. And I was able to say efficacy on cues. So I got the gig most of the time. So I was doing that, but I was still working full time at that time as an engineer and kind of just trying to make it work and going to auditions on my lunch break and staying late after work because I might have had a gig or whatever the case may be, however it worked out, and decided at that time that I was going to pursue entertainment reporting just because, you know, I wasn't that familiar with the business, and that was all I knew. You watch red carpets and you think, I could do that and ask people who they're wearing and talk about that kind of stuff. So I went down that path and started working for an online magazine called Rolling Out.
Okay. So now you're actually in front of the camera, not only with industrial videos, but with live events. I know at one point you were doing traffic, and you were with major stations here in Philadelphia. How did you take that, and even QVC, how did you take some of those experiences and get to where you are now? How were they formative for helping you get to where you are now?
Well, I can tell you, Fran, you know, people say it all the time, and it starts to sound cliche, but it is really the truth. Like, until you step out on faith, you know, you're just never going to be able to realize your fullest potential. When I left my job in 2007, I was already working for QVC at the time as a model. And it's so funny, even that story, I was going down there. I worked in King of Prussia at the time, and QVC's based in Westchester. So a little over 20 minutes one way to get to the studio from my job. And my agent was sending me down there for these different go-sees. A modeling audition is called a go-see. It's not necessarily called an audition because you just are going to see if they like you. So she'd send me down there for these go-sees for different cosmetics brands and different hair brands. And, you know, they never booked me. They never, you know, I guess I just wasn't the type. And then that's fine. Rejection's a part of this business. And she called me again to send me down there because I would literally go to work. I would bring all of my makeup and you know, everything I needed to get myself glammed up for this go-see. And I would go in the bathroom at work, and I put on makeup. And at the time, I still wore glasses. I've gotten laser eye surgery since then, but I wore glasses at that time. So I'd take the glasses off, put the contact lenses in, you know, the lashes and the hair and the makeup and everything. I'd drive down there, go to this go-see. You know, they'd look at you for 2 minutes, not even that, 30 seconds. They say, thank you for coming. You waited 45 minutes because there were 100 other girls there. And then I'd go back to work and take the makeup off and put the glasses back on because I can't sit in front of a computer all day in my contacts. I need my glasses. And I would finish out my day at work. And I was doing this, you know, on a weekly basis and wasn't getting anything. And so when my agent called me the last time, she said, you know, I was like, listen, clearly they don't need my type. They're not looking for my type. They don't like my type. I'm fine with doing this, you know, once or twice a week, losing my job.
Life, and, not so secret.
I felt like Superman and Clark Kent. Like, literally, I would, like, go into the phone booth and take the glasses off and go to this thing. And she said, just go to this last one. She said, I promise, you know, if they don't book you for this, I won't send you down there anymore. But just, I have a feeling about it. Just go to this last one. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I do the whole, you know, chameleon thing again, and I go down there, and it was a go-see for Prescriptive Cosmetics. I still remember it, and because I didn't book it. I did not book it. I still didn't get it. But this time, just this one time out of the probably 30 other times I had gone down there, this one time, the woman who was actually in charge of the fashion models there was sitting in on the go-see. I had never seen her face in any of the other go-sees I had gone on, but she was in this go-see, and she called my agent and told her they wanted me to come down and be one of the regular fashion models there. So that's how I started at QVC. I literally was never going to go down there again if they didn't book me for something. And she was there, and you know, and that was how my QVC career got started. But it evolved over the course of about 7 years or so. Because again, I'm still working full time at Lockheed. I'm dragging myself down to Westchester on the regular, and I got to tell you this story real quick. I had a 2 a.m. rule when I was working at QVC because they're 24 hours a day. They're live. It's live television 24 hours a day. Every day but Christmas. So at the time when you first start, you have to do overnights to train and get to learn, you know, what cameras to look at and everything else. You usually work from midnight, anywhere from midnight to 5 a.m. So that was my shift, basically. And I had a 2 a.m. rule. So if I got finished at QVC at 2 a.m. or later, so 3 a.m., 4 a.m., maybe the show got finished at 5 a.m., I would go straight to work. and sit there alone in my cubicle at my computer, you know, working. And then I would leave early. You know, I'd still work my 8 to 10 hours, and I'd leave at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and then go home and sleep. But if I got done at 2 a.m. or earlier, so if my show was over at midnight or 1 a.m., I would go home first and sleep for, you know, maybe 4 hours and then go to work and stay late. So I might be at work until 10:30 at night. So that was how I managed it. You know, you make it work. And thankfully Lockheed gave me that flexibility in my schedule to be able to do both. But it gets old, you know. It gets old and at some point you gotta make a decision. And that's what I did in 2007.
Okay.
Left Lockheed.
So we're at
2007. Left Lockheed altogether. So I'm leaving Lockheed. I'm walking out the door, and quite literally a month later, this was in March of 07, because I gave my notice at the beginning of March, and I gave them a month because I had security clearances and other stuff that, you know, it was more than just 2 weeks that I was going to need to wrap everything up there. So my last day was March 28th, 2007. And even then, I didn't just leave because, you know, you and I talked earlier about not burning bridges and not wanting to just, you know, head out. So I took a leave of absence because Lockheed, again, with those wonderfully flexible benefits, they would allow you to take up to a year leave of absence. And, you know, your job would be waiting for you when you got back. So I said, well, you know what? If I don't have to quit, let me just see what I can do out here. And if it doesn't work out, I can always go back. So left in March. In May of that same year, I got a call from CBS3, the station, and they were looking for backup traffic reporters for their main guy. And I said, sure, why not? I've never reported traffic a day in my life, but okay, you know, why not? And let me tell you, that prepares you for anything. You know, traffic and weather, people, I think, you know, kind of throw those away when it comes to network news. But those are the only two roles within network news that don't get a prompter. You don't get anything. You are ad-libbing all of that content, you know, 2.5 minutes worth of, you know, 95's backed up, there's an accident here, here's your alternate route, you know, your delay from here to here is 10 minutes and 30 minutes. So all of that is you putting that story together, you know, seamlessly, delivering it flawlessly, and then throwing back to the desk or throwing the commercial or whatever it is, you know, all live, all real time. So, you know, if you can report traffic, you can do anything on television, seriously, because it really is.
That is great to know. That is great to know.
It was the best training I could ever have for everything else that I've done in the media since then. It really, really was. I credit my time on air as a traffic reporter for why I'm able to do what I do now, definitely.
Well, take us to what do you do now in It's a Matter of Life and Death, and why that name? Who do you serve? I mean, clearly listeners are hearing the energy and the enthusiasm. How'd you get to that?
Well, it's another story. I was reporting traffic. I had left CBS and I was working for a traffic network called Tango. It was a startup and they were looking to become the Weather Channel for traffic. So it's 24 hours a day traffic. I was doing the afternoon drive, and I had a fateful meeting with the vice president of diversity at Comcast at the time, and I get all glammed up and I got the fake lashes going, and I'm all set to convince him that he needs to, you know, put me on TV basically. And I walk in and I start giving him my spiel, and he says, I need to stop you. I'm going to stop you right there. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, as my hopes and dreams, you know, as I'm watching go down the drain. And he said, you walked in here, you kind of mentioned you were an engineer in passing, and you haven't talked about it again. He says, why aren't you using that? He said, there are 1,001, you know, attractive girls trying to be entertainment reporters. He said, I don't know anyone that looks like you that could do technology. And right then and there, you know, Tech Life expert Stephanie Humphrey was born. I mean, it literally just hit me, you know, and I don't like to use the term aha moment because I just think it's been overused. But, you know, Oprah knows what she's talking about. It was truly an aha moment. And, you know, the fact that I now had that media training and experience that I could couple with the technical skill that I already had, it really did set me apart. So I started blogging. That was where Matter of Life and Tech came in. I'm very, very proud of the fact that I actually came up with that name myself, because I don't consider myself very creative most of the time. I'm very left brain. So when I can be creative, I'm always super excited about that. So I was like, Matter of Life and Tech, that sounds pretty cool. And I just thought it sounded cool.
It does.
And that was the blog. That was the birth of who I am today. Used that to kind of catapult myself to higher profile writing assignments. So I started writing for TheRoot.com. Mm-hmm. I started writing for Ebony.com and eventually Ebony Magazine. And then used that to get to television.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a progression. Okay. You know, I felt like, you know, I learned very early on that, you know, just saying you were an engineer and I know how to do TV didn't get me much, because people wanted to know what have you done lately. So the writing was the foundation and the credentials that got me onto television.
Wow. So now you're on television and you've clearly had, in sailing, when you want to get from point A to point B, it's not a straight line. That is
never a straight line.
It's zigging and zagging. Right. And so you've had this wonderful path of experiences that have allowed you to really take advantage of the next step and also create, as you opened up earlier, in being open, some of the next steps. TV.
Absolutely.
Stephanie, A Matter of Life and Tech. Bring us up to the current and take us to the future. Where are you going?
So currently I am the national spokesperson for HP, the computer company, Hewlett-Packard, on QVC. Mm-hmm. I continued my relationship with QVC, and even that wasn't a straight line, because after I stopped modeling, I was the backup guest for a fashion brand there. And then, you know, once I started branding myself as a tech expert outside of QVC, I wanted to bring everything in line with what I was doing for my brand. So I made the switch into the electronics category at QVC, and the opportunity to work for HP was there when I made that switch. So I work for HP on QVC. I educate consumers to help them make, smart decision on what sort of computer they buy. I say all the time, I don't sell computers. That's the host job. I educate consumers on, you know, whether or not this might be the right buy for them. I also do segments on Fox 29, and I still write occasionally for Ebony Magazine, and I'm growing my brand. You know, I've done a couple of sizzle reels for a tech show that I think could work. I actually just recently did two segments for Centric in their ladies' room. They have a little show that they call the ladies' room. I did two tech segments for that. And I'm continuing to grow the brand, and my focus, my overarching goal has always just been to help people understand how technology makes their lives easier. It's really, really simple, you know, what I do. Because I think that stigma that it's hard and it's changing all the time, and you know, I think that precludes people from taking advantage of what it has to offer. And it really is a very powerful tool if you understand how to use it. And so that's what I want to do. I want to encourage people to take full advantage of technology, to use it to its fullest potential. And I don't mind the role model title, because we need more young women of color in this field. We need more young women of color in technology, in STEM careers altogether. So if I could do anything to move that needle just a little bit, I'm all for that. And I have a seminar. I have a seminar called Till Death Do You Tweet, because at this point we are in crisis mode with our young people in social media. I mean, it was you know, embarrassing photos at first, and you know, maybe you lost the scholarship, but at this point kids are dying because of what is being posted on social media. So we are really in crisis mode. So I'm working to take my seminar national and international if possible to help young people understand the consequences and the risks of their online behavior.
Wow, that is phenomenal. It certainly is a great way to literally hit home with young people, to educate parents, to educate the community on really this whole concept of credibility and credentials and that young person's own brand. So, Stephanie, speaking of your brand, where can people get in touch with you? How can they find you on what channels or what formats?
I am Tech Life Steph everywhere because, you know, you got to be brand consistent. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tech Life Steph, you'll find me. You could always go to A Matter of Life and Tech and leave me email there as well. But, yeah, tweet me. I'm always on Twitter, so that's usually the quickest way to get a response.
Okay, and that so that's Tech, T-E-C-H, Life, L-I-F-E, and Steph, S-T-E-P-H, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, great, great. So final thoughts as we wrap up the interview. Again, clearly the entrepreneurial spirit combined with just integrity, your value system of wanting to perform, do your job, respect your corporate experience is phenomenal. So some parting words for our guests who are entrepreneurs, maybe at the start of their career and not sure what's coming up, or folks that may have hit a rut in a very successful business.
Well, I'm so glad you said, you know, finding your why, because that's the thing. You got to understand why you're doing it. You know, I think in this age of startups that we live in, you know, everybody wants to be the next Zuckerberg, you know, and sell their startup for $1 billion and retire and buy an island or something. But it has to be about more than that. You have to have some larger reason for doing what you do, because this life is not easy. It is incredibly challenging, as I'm sure I don't have to tell you. And the money's not going to be enough to get you through. It's really not, you know, unless you're just one of those people that is completely and solely motivated by that. That's not going to be enough. So you really have to figure out what it is, you know, you're trying to accomplish, you know, why you're doing this, what is that overarching reason? Because I think, you know, at the end of the day, we all have something that is propelling us forward, that's motivating us to keep going in the face of all of this adversity that we as entrepreneurs face every single day. So figure out what that is, write it down if you need to, you know, put it on your wall so you can see it every day, and go back to it as often as you need to keep your focus, because there are going to be those days when you're just like, what am I doing? What the hell am I doing here? And you need to keep your eye on that singular prize. So I'd say that's the first thing. And then two, you know, as you said, don't burn your bridges. You know, your old manager might be your first customer, or, you know, or your first investor. So it's like you gotta make sure you're doing this in the right way. And, you know, I get it. Some jobs can be insufferable and unbearable. And if that's the case and you just want to make a clean break, that's fine. But if you don't have to do that and you can keep those people as connections and contacts, it's just for the better. You know, it's just for all the better, because you just never know. So if you can plan a way to exit gracefully, to make that transition as easy as possible for your old job, you know, I don't think anybody's going to begrudge you the opportunity to follow your dreams. So you just, you know, just make it easy, as easy for everybody as possible, and just be prepared to work. That's the thing. It's not, there's no, I wish I could bottle something and sell it and say, this is the key to success. You know, it's just the work. It is work, and it is just, you know, persistence. It really is. You have to work really, really hard, and you have to hang in there. There's really no other secret to being an entrepreneur besides those two key things.
Well, that is a wonderful way to end. Stephanie, again, thanks for your time. A Matter of Life and Tech. Folks can find you on the web. Thank you so much for being a guest of Significant Business Results Radio.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.
looked around.
Awesome. I a funny story. I used to do a public access show.